like if I and my wife and I were married, and we were married 20 years, and all I did is ask her for stuff every time I went to her. That's not fellowshipping. That's using her. Amen. And by the way, through God's grace, He allows us to do that and still forgives us. And when we don't, He just desires fellowship with us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight in this study, just fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Him. The false prophet Muhammad taught this. This is one of his teachings to his followers, that prayer would carry you halfway to paradise, fasting would bring you to its gates, and almsgiving would gain him admittance. I don't know about you, that's not what the Bible says, right? I'm glad that I'm not depending on prayer and fasting and almsgiving to get me to heaven. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Now, that's going to get the people who follow Muhammad, that'll get them to a gate. It's going to be the wrong one, though. By the way, anyway, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. There is gates in hell too, apparently, right? But I want you to notice, if you will, Matthew chapter 6, look, if you will, in verse 8. We'll pick up what verse 8 says, and he's still kind of revealing how not to pray in the first part of this verse, but we want to look at the model prayer here. Verse 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." That's why He's an omnipotent God. He already knows. By the way, we spent too much time asking and not enough time fellowshipping. He already knows what you need. You say, "Well, I shouldn't ask Him." Yeah, you should ask Him, but He already knows. And we think that is the main part of our prayer, is that I come before God and I get the preliminary out of the way. "God, thank you for the day. But Lord, here's 6,000 things I need for the day." God knows. By the way, do you realize you don't have to pray for your necessities of life? He's promised that He'd already supply those for you. Amen. That ain't the message tonight. Verse 9. "And He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye." This manner, pray ye. Notice this. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. And that ends the prayer. And he goes on down, talks about, "If we forgive the men their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive them your trespasses." It's a very simple diagram for the disciples to follow in their prayer life. They were asking Him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. We want to know how to pray." By the way, we as Christians ought to always say, "How can I better my prayer life?" By the way, in the last 3 or 4 years, God has really convicted me about my prayer life. And there's been some great changes in Michael Wiggins' prayer life because God's got a hold of me and realized that I have an awesome responsibility. It's not a dreadful responsibility when people call and say, "Brother Wiggins, will you pray for so-and-so?" And I go, "Good night. I'm already up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Do these people not care about my..." No, listen, I'm glad that they say, "Hey, I found somebody that'll pray for these people." That to me is a great responsibility. And by the way, we ought to pray as much as we can and as often as we can for those who are on our prayer list. But listen, that's not the main reason I was convicted. The main reason I was convicted a few years ago was this: "Son, I just want to spend time with you." My earthly father told me that a few years ago. I don't get to see my father but maybe once a year, and use this for one day out of 1 year. And sometimes it's longer than that. And one thing that my dad said to me a few years ago, and it made me think of my Heavenly Father, is that my dad very simply said, he says, "Son, I wish we could spend more time together, just talking and fellowshipping together." And I thought, man, if my earthly father feels that way, how does my Heavenly Father feel at times? And not all the times of my life have I always woke up early and prayed. Not all the time in my life have I ever went to bed at night praying. Not all the time in my life that during the day am I in the attitude of prayer. There's been times where I mashed the pause button on my prayer life. But here Jesus shows us how to pray. I know how to pray, but the thing is, I just got to do it. Amen. You can be the greatest mechanic in the world and have every tool and gadget in your garage, but listen, it does you no good unless you use them. Amen. unless you're like me. And it still don't do you any good. You break more stuff than you fix. But notice this. We see Jesus gives this pattern to prayer. The pattern to prayer. Now I want to give you a few things tonight. Number one, the person to whom we pray. The person to whom we pray. One more clicker there. The person to whom we pray. The person. By the way, notice what he said in verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. By the way, it's capital F-A-T-H-E-R. Just as I fellowship with my earthly father, just as I desire that fellowship with that earthly being of my father, so should I want to have that fellowship with my heavenly father. By the way, I'm going to be honest with you. My heavenly father done a lot more for me than my earthly father ever did. You say, wow, you hate your father. No, I love my dad. But he didn't send his son to die for me because that had been me. Amen. And I couldn't have died for the cat. Because I was born sinful. Amen. And I would have had to die nine times because of the cat having nine lives. I mean, it would have been a bad deal. But, when I read this a couple weeks ago, John Phillips said this. I love this. He said that the person to whom we pray, this is the address of the envelope, so to speak. When you get that letter ready, you take that envelope and you write on there to Angela Fiesler and her address. I won't give it here because y'all write her mail. But the address, that when you come and you pray and you bow and you say, Heavenly Father, that is the address where you're sending your prayer to. By the way, when you pray in Jesus' name, that's the signing of the letter. And by the way, who helps you with the middle part? The Holy Spirit does. You're addressing it to the Father. You're praying through the Holy Spirit of God. He's there to help you. And by the way, there's sometimes you can't utter those things which are in your heart. That's all right. He'll send them up for you. He's got ESP. He knows what you're thinking. And He sends it to the Father. And we pray because of Jesus Christ. We pray in His name because why? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a powerful name. That's why we pray through Him, because He is the one who opened up the gate so we could pray. Our prayers are to be directed to the Heavenly Father. By the way, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, and we don't pray to Christ necessarily. Now, I'm not knocking you for that, but I'm telling you that the model prayer that Jesus was giving here to the disciples said, Heavenly Father. By the way, I like how He said, our Heavenly Father. By the way, you have to be in possession of the Heavenly Father to be able to pray to Him. If you're lost, there's a wall between you and the Heavenly Father. And you got to wait for Christ to break down that middle wall of partition for you. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'll prove it to you next week that a lost person can't pray for their family to God. It's impossible. You say, I've had people argue with me over that, and I say, well, what's the key to praying? Faith. Well, if you had enough faith to pray to God, you'd have enough faith to get saved. Amen. The first act of faith is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that activates prayer. I've told parents a long time that they'll come to my office and people off the street, and I'll say, ma'am, do you know Jesus Christ? She said, no. She said, but my kids need help. I said, no. First, mama needs some help so she can pray for her kids. And here's the help right here. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll open up a prayer path for you. He's going to open it up where you can talk to the Heavenly Father. Why do we pray to the Heavenly Father? Well, here's just a few reasons. Number one, He's holy. He is holy God. It said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means what? Holy. He's a holy Father. By the way, you pray to Muhammad, he can't hear you. He's got mud in his ears. You can pray to the little... matter of fact, as I was coming out of the gym this morning, I walked by a car and it had a little Buddha sitting on top of their little dash. I waved at him as I went by. He didn't wave back. Yeah. I just making sure. But as I went by, it looked like he was looking at me. I was like, and he didn't wave back. You know why? Because Buddha can't hear. the idols and the statues and those that are graven in images, the images of gold, they can't hear your prayer. There's only one who can hear it. Why? Because He's holy. That's who He is. Why do we pray to the Father? Well, because He's the only true God. There is no other. By the way, I cannot sit at my house and Brother Cox sit at his house and me pray to him. He can't hear me. He's got his TV up too loud. He can't hear it. Watching the Jeffersons. I'm telling you, he can't hear. And vice versa, if you prayed to me, why? Because I'm not God. But I tell you what, I can be in the darkest jungles of Africa, I can be in Uganda and pray, and the Heavenly Father will hear me. Because He's the only true God. And then we see that He's creator of all. He's the one that created us. That's why you ought to pray to Him. Amen. And then here's the greatest reason. Jesus told us to. If Jesus set the example for us, we ought to follow it. I was listening to a sermon on prayer this past week, and I thought this was amazing. And by the way, it's always timely when you're preaching on something. You put your earbuds in, and I'm going to say iPods in. Put your earbuds in, and you're listening. Just listening to a man I always listen to, and he said, "This now I'm starting a sermon or a series on prayer." Thank you, Lord. So I'm listening to this in the morning, and he says, "Have you ever thought about the names of God?" If you go to the next one, I believe it pops up maybe the names of God. There they are. Obviously, I'm not going to go through there because I can't pronounce two of them for sure. But if you've looked up the names of God, most of us know Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, and Jehovah Nisi, and all these names that you would be pretty familiar with. But I begin to look at all, and by the way, this is just a very short list of the names of God. Obviously, there is over 1,000 names of God and attributes of God that you could put up here. But I begin to think about just these very simple names of God that we're pretty familiar with. And I begin to go through this list of what those names mean. And I tried to think of a prayer that didn't fit that on the right side. There's no prayer that I would ever pray that would be outside of one of those names. By the way, if you need healing, guess what it says? It says that you pray to Jehovah Ra. Notice what it says. And then maybe you need an everlasting God, Elohim. And then I was like, God, Elohim. You see, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. If you have a need that God needs to provide, to pray to Jehovah Jireh. He is that, and I'm not saying you have to use those names, so I'm just saying that when you pray, you're praying to a Heavenly Father that represents these attributes, that's who He is. He will provide. He will heal. He is the God of righteousness. He is the Lord God. He is all these things, and when you pray to Him, He is whatever you need Him to be. I know this is going to just, y'all going to think I'm lying, but I'm telling you, I have had people before in churches go, "I just don't know if God's going, I don't know if He can work this out." By the way, that's a show of a lack of faith. Because if God can save you from the depths of hell and give you a home in heaven, pretty sure He can do anything. Matter of fact, I'm not pretty sure. I am very sure that He can do anything. Matter of fact, He can do anything that you can think of. And then things that you can't even think of that God can do. You say, "Well, my case is unique." No, it's not. God knows what you're going through. God knows your very thoughts and your intents of your heart. And He knows what you're going through. I don't care if it's a death of a loved one. I don't care if it's financial problems. Somewhere in there, God is what you need. And you pray to Him for that. By the way, I have those days where I have very specific things that I want to pray for. And I try to identify with those with one of the names of God. I say, "Jehovah Jireh, here I am. Lord, I need You to provide on this." Because I tell you, I don't mention prayer requests very often, but me and my family, of course, Brother Chad and Cindy have too, we've been looking for a house. We want to stay here. And I told God, Lord, if You want me to stay here, You got to open it up and allow us to buy a home. I'm tired of renting and throwing money into that. I said, "But Lord, if You want me to leave, don't let me buy a house." And so far, He hadn't let me buy a house. Now, some of y'all, that's going to speed your prayers up. One way or the other, it will. Lord, help every house to sell in Jesus' name. Amen. We would go look at a house we have a church member that's helping us with these things. And we go look at the house and we'd say, oh, this is the one. He'd say, oh, no, I just got to edge saw. Get out. I mean, that's happened to us. And Fawn, y'all, wherever you were, I saw you. There you are. Y'all know what we're talking about. They were looking for a house. It's so hard. It's like, man, every time we find something, it'd be like, boom. And so I've just been, every morning I wake up and I say, God, please, you got to provide for us. But there's one thing about prayer that none of us like. It's called patience. I try to help God out too much. Because there's a thing called Zillow. And God works through Zillow, I thought. But apparently he doesn't. Because everything that pops up on Zillow, God says, no. Nah. So you know what I did? I gave up. And it seemed like the moment I gave up, I came in contact with somebody that said, hey, have you thought about that? Like, no, I've not thought about that one day. And it seems like God is still continuing to work in that direction. Well, hallelujah. I mean, I hate that the house is in Michigan, but, you know, I mean, hey, whatever. You know, I'm just kidding. But God will provide. What is your need tonight? Hallowed be thy name. By the way, here's the problem with our prayer a lot of times. We take God and we put him down here where we are. I don't need nobody down here with me. We're already in a mess down here. I need somebody who's above the battle stripe. I need somebody who's above the waves and the wind. And I need somebody who's above. By the way, he said, our Father which art in heaven. He's high above everything. And he sees things from a different perspective than we. I don't need a God that sees things through my eyes. Lord, have mercy, I'd be in trouble. If God saw things like I did. I'm so narrow-minded. I was taught that from a kid. Especially independent Baptist, you got to be narrow-minded. Then I moved to Texas, I said, man, I wasn't narrow-minded enough. But God's above it. Hallowed be thy name. We pray to a holy God who is separated from the world. Who's separated from our situation, so to speak. But yet he's still involved in it through us and working in us and through us. Well, that's a great God. That's who I want to pray to. I'm going to move on to the next thing tonight. We see the number two thing, the purpose of the one to whom we pray. The purpose. What purpose does he have? Notice, if you will, in verse 10. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. What is the purpose of the one to whom we pray? Our desire should always be God's will in our life. We should always be willing to yield to him. It's not my will, but thine be done. What Jesus said, he set the example when he truly prayed. He said, Father, when he was in Gethsemane, he said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Even the Lord Jesus Christ bowed to the will of his Father. Now, listen to me tonight. The hardest thing that Michael Wiggins deals with is me. It's not everybody's opinion. It's my opinion that gets me in trouble. Because sometimes here's what we do in prayer. Okay, I know God wants me to have this house. It's got everything I want. Okay, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you know this is the house I want, so Lord, would you give it to us? That's a preconceived idea. God's not in that. I have to go to him and go, God, I have no idea what house you want us to have. Amen. By the way, it may be bigger than what I'm thinking. It may be smaller than I'm thinking. It may be better than I'm thinking. It may not be what I'm thinking. But listen, if God gives it to me, it's all right. I've told this before, but when I was in evangelism many, many, many years ago, I thought God was in this thing. I said, every evangelist has a motorhome. You can't be a bigwig without a motorhome. So I bought a motorhome. I bought the motorhome. I'll go ahead and tell you, I bought the motorhome for $2,000. It was a good deal. Come with a little Jeep behind it. A little bonus the Lord just blessed me with. I drove out of the place where I bought it from, got about a mile down the road. I was up in Birmingham, and it broke down. It never cranked again. I'm not lying. You ask my wife. We pulled over the side of the road. It was done. Lord. And God's like, I told you not to buy that thing. So because you bought that, you're going to pay for it until 2017. I'm still paying for that thing. I sold it for $1,500. That's all I could get out of it. The wheels were worth more on that, but I had to let it go for $1,500. Well, guess who had to eat the rest of that money? Who's still paying for that motorhome that he's not driving? Why did I do that? Because I wanted it. See, I didn't see far enough down the road that God put me in evangelism and get me to a church in Burnett, Texas to be a pastor. And that was just a little bit down the road that God had that for me. That's why God didn't want me to have a motorhome. See, sometimes we pray, God, not your will, but mine be done. Now, inadvertently, sometimes we pray that. But it's not about my will. Notice what he says, verse 10, he says, thy kingdom come. Lord, if it's your will, come on. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, hey, by the way, notice what he says, in earth as it is in heaven. What does he mean by that? Well, up in heaven, the angels are going, no, I ain't doing that. Are they? The heavenly host up in heaven aren't going, well, I know God said we ought to do this today, but you know what? We ought to just hang out today. No, as it is in heaven, it ought to happen on earth. We ought to be, listen, God's not asking us to be robots, but God's asking us to obey Him. You don't have a better idea than God does. I haven't blew my nose on that. You don't have a better idea than God does. Amen. You don't have a better thought than God does. You don't have a better plan than God does. Listen, you want to mess your life up? You do what you want to do. You do whatever you think. Hey, listen. I'm just going to go with my heart. Don't you go with your heart. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Don't you go with your heart. You go with God. And by the way, if you get down the road and it don't look like it's working out, you go, God, this is yours. And God knows I got it under control. Amen. He has a purpose that sometimes me and you can't see. Never one day in my life would I ever thought I'd been right here. When I left here the first time, it was Saronado, Texas. Yep, I've been here longer than I've been anywhere else. Man, I'm telling you, when I left here, and I wish I could spend time to tell you how good God's been to me. I didn't know why God wanted us to move to Alabama to take a church. I didn't know why God wanted us to go into evangelism. I didn't know why God wanted us to go back and I worked on staff at a church in Georgia. I didn't know why God wanted me to do these things. I didn't know why God wanted me down in Burnett. Boy, that church was a mess. I didn't know why God wanted me back at Heritage, but I sure am glad He walked me through every step of the way. And not one place have I ever been where I made that choice because I never thought I'd be where I am today. It had to be the Lord. Now, I bought things along the way that God said no, and I said, well, we'll just go with it. Here's the way I'm telling myself. It's got to be God's will if I get the finances. If God allows my credit to go through, it's got to be God's will. Folks, that is the dumbest thing you can ever say. Did I tell y'all I'm still paying for a motorhome? And by the way, that was 11 years ago. Yeah, I got good financing on that thing. It's only 27%. Anybody wants to write a check for that? Hallelujah. Let me give you the third thing tonight, the provision of the one whom we pray. Yeah, I have to skip one there. The provision of the one who pray. Notice what he said in the next verse. I'm trying to hurry. He said, give us this day our daily bread. By the way, you study this out. This is not talking about Jesus being the bread of life. This is not talking about the Word of God necessarily. This is talking about the necessities of life. Now, you can study it and see for yourself, but everything I've read, everything I've looked up, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, when you pray, say, God, today, whatever I need, give it to me. And by the way, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every day in my life, I'm telling you, I've always been amazed at how God has worked in our life. Since me and my wife have gotten married 20 years ago, when we got married, it was just a little span of time where we were not in the full-time ministry, but then we moved out here, began to work with Brother Crawford at Lakeland Street Baptist Church, and some of you were there with us, and we began to work for God. And listen, when we first moved there, we wasn't making a lot of money, but I will tell you what, not one time did I ever go hungry. Not one time did I ever look upon this body and see no clothes on it, and I always had suits to wear. Now listen, I love, and I still do, Goodwill. There are some gooberhead people that take suits to... I was in Goodwill about a month ago. I found a Joseph A. Bain suit for $10. I was like, hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, every time the Lord took care of my needs, the provisions, the daily provisions that He gives us, the fourth thing tonight is the pardon of the one to whom we pray. That's verses 12, 14, and 15. The pardon of the one to whom we pray. Notice, if you will, verse 12. The Bible says, "And forgive us our debts." Now, you look at that word debts here. That means sins. That is a combination of sins. And as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. And debtors, if you look it up, it means those to whom that owe. But notice what it's talking about, those sinners. By the way, we got to forgive other people. You say, how do you... I ain't going to forgive nobody. Look at verse 14 and 15. You will. Because if you don't, He won't. You say, I don't believe that verse. Well, you can't believe the rest of the Bible. Jesus said, if you don't forgive those that wronged you, then my Father which is in heaven won't forgive you. I don't know about y'all, but I need His forgiveness. And I don't want to have an ought against a brother. I don't want to have something against a brother where God is not going to forgive me. But I'm glad He pardons us. And forgives us. Forgiveness is forgiveness and faith is such a vital part of praying. Let me give you the fifth thing. I'm trying to hurry through some of these. The path of the one to whom we pray. Notice this in verse 13. The first part he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know what? God obviously does not tempt us with evil, but God does send us through testings. But notice what he says in the second part of that. He says, deliver us from evil. Boy, that ought to be our path every day. It's to pray, God, can I remind us, we live in a horrible world, don't we? By the way, we live in a world today that sometimes you can't even look up at a billboard anymore. I was going down 820 the other day, and I was one of those little digital boards, you know, that shows several things. And I was appalled about what I saw. About an establishment that's over in the Fort Worth area. I was like, man, my kids, I used to hate when my kids were going down the road and Brody would be like, Dave, what's that? Like, well, what is that over there? Did you see that? That was a big 18-wheeler truck. You get them to look the opposite way. But we live in such a sinful world, don't we? And Lord, lead us not in that path where we're tempted. God, lead us not in that path where the devil's going to lay that snare. God, help us. And that's what he's praying here. He says, pray that God will help you and protect you and put that hedge over you and keep you on the path. By the way, what path should we be on? On the narrow way. Let me give you the last thing. I'm done tonight. This is really what I want to see. Notice what he says in the last part of verse 13. He says, "And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want you to see the perpetuity of the one that we pray to. That perpetuity of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the one whom we pray to is everlasting. There's never a day in God's in the year, or not a day of the week, where God feels weak. I don't know about you, but I do. I have those days, don't y'all? Yeah, you ever have those days where you're just like, man, especially when you're about to get sick, you know? And boy, your body just starts... God never has that day. God never has that day where He can't remember anything. I have those days. Well, I have people come to me and say, did you do that? Did you whatever? Did you tell Pastor Stanley? I'm just now remembering it now that you're telling me that. Because that's how we are as humans. But God is not that way. His kingdom and His power and His glory. Notice what He says. The kingdom and power and glory are forever. There's no end to God. There's no beginning and there's no end to God. When you're praying to an everlasting Father. You're praying to an all power, a powerful God. You're praying to a perfect God that has no end. There's no boundaries of time. He will never cease. He will never decrease. That's what D.L. Moody said. Not one day of his life. You're praying to an all-powerful God, the perpetuity of God, the continuation of God. God is everlasting. By the way, tonight, I don't know how your prayer life is, but I tell you what, I'm constantly working on my prayer life. I have to be reminded of all the time, Michael, did you pray today? I was telling you, I have a prayer journal. Everybody in our family has a prayer journal. And to me, that has helped me greater than anything I've ever done in my prayer life, is to keep a prayer journal. Because it's something that now I've gotten used to opening up, and usually I keep prayer lists from Wednesday night. Usually I keep that in my Bible, then I have my... If you go to my desk, I have my prayer journal underneath that, and I open that up and I begin to read those names and pray for those names. And by the way, every time I read prayer letters from missionaries, I pray for our missionaries. Man, they need it. They need somebody here in the States praying for them. And tonight, I know we're going to take up time here in a minute and pray for people, but I'm going to tell you, Miss Pat's nearing heaven's door. She needs our prayer. But we were over there last week, and Miss Pat said a phrase that almost the Apostle Paul said. She said, I'm torn between here and there. And she told us that sitting in her living room last week. I said, man, that's exciting. You say, wait a minute, that's exciting. Yeah. She's ready to go. And well, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we got a hope of heaven. She needs our prayer, but here's what she says. Pray for my son, John. She's not worried about her health. Not worried about her house. I think she's worried about Harry. She's worried about John because he's not saved. She said, I hope that through all this, my son gets saved. So my prayer for her, usually when I pray for her, I pray for her. I pray that God give her grace. But then I also connect that with John. I pray for John Shepherd, that God would save him. Miss Pat's counting on us to pray for her. And pray for her son, and pray for her daughter, and pray for all those who are connected to her. Miss Elaine's taking it pretty bad, and some others that are in here. But I'll tell you what, we have a God that we can pray to. He set an example for us. But what good is the example if we're not going to pray? We got to find time to pray. You say, well, you just don't know how busy I am. You're too busy. If you don't have time to pray, listen, here's I'll challenge you. That every time you eat, allot that time in your brain and pray that long. Because just as your body needs fuel, so does your spirit need fuel. But if you quit praying, I want you to quit eating. And see how long that'll last. By the way, we can go a long time without praying. But we may make it a day without eating. Why? Because the flesh is so powerful. Remember, Paul said there's a war between the flesh and the spirit. By the way, Pastor said it, I believe, Sunday. You'll never be more tired than when you come to church, read your Bible, and pray. You ever want to put your kids asleep? Put in a preaching tape of Michael Wiggins. They will sleep all night long. Amen. It is. That's the way it is. That's the way the devil works. How's your prayer life tonight? Let's stand. We'll have a verse invitation, hymn 155, after we pray. Our Father, we do come to You, and Lord, just adore You and admire You for all and what You are and who You are. Thank You that You hear our prayers. Thank You that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. But Father, forgive us when we don't. And we neglect this area of prayer. God, we need to spend more time fellowshipping with you, and I know I do. I pray, God, tonight that you have spoken our hearts. Lord, there's such a great model of prayer that your Son gave. Lord, help us to apply and put our own meat on that, and Lord, our own words to that. And God, help us to spend time with you in fellowship and praying. God, bless tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way Tonight. If you need to come to the altar, please come tonight.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Another verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Listen to this.
Search me and try me. Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Another verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal.
Thank you. May be seated. Do let me give you a few requests just real quick. And